Hey everybody, and welcome into the audio-only version of JB's Bible and Bourbon Talk. We are available on our YouTube channel to catch us in all of our HD goodness. On today's episode, we talk about the power of praying together as a body of believers, and we share an available, accessible, and affordable cast strength pour. And as always, join us on jbbibleandbourbon.com/social. That's going to have all of our social media links for Facebook, for Instagram. It's going to have links to all of our podcatchers, which you have because you are here. We also encourage you to go subscribe, like, comment our YouTube channel. Helps our algorithm, helps us reach more people. You can also support us on Patreon. We have an apostle and a disciple level tiers. Those will get you monthly time with JB and I. Now, sit back, settle in, let's go. Cue the intro.
All right, welcome back to JB's Bible and Bourbon Talk. On this podcast, we talk about things that we are very passionate about. We're passionate about Jesus, Holy Scriptures, preaching His gospel. We're also passionate about good whiskey. You know, I'm also pretty passionate about chicken wings.
We might have to add
that in at some point where we eat chicken wings. Okay, cool. Well, anyways,
the editing is going to be a lot harder, but that's okay.
Oh, yeah. But it would be beautiful carnage. Just sauce and chicken skin everywhere. It just, like, so good. Anyways.
It would be.
I am JB. I'm a pastor at a Reformed church in Ohio, and with me is my wonderful co-host, Fancy Rob.
Yeah, and I am a wing connoisseur. In Denver, North Carolina. So this works. I'm excited. I did make about 20 pounds of smoked wings last weekend, and they were delicious.
That sounds really good. Did you make sauce for them, or?
No, I just used some bottled sauce, just some hot sauce, and Elias likes some. Elias has a habit of going through like three bottles of, you know, the spicy Asian sauce every week.
Yeah. It seems. He's got an addiction, man. He needs to start a podcast then. He does. Through all of his bottles, man.
I know, right? He's got a lot of them.
He sure does. All right. So here we are on YouTube. Mm. If you're watching, watching on YouTube. Mm. But Rob, we had a Patreon hangout the other night. And
we did.
I can't stop thinking about the kangaroos, man. I really want to go on a road trip to Kentucky.
Yes. I don't blame you. I mean, they're good whiskey.
Good whiskey. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can have some good whiskey and then you can go pet a kangaroo. I almost said raccoon, but I would not be down for that.
You can also pet a raccoon. It just doesn't end it well.
Yeah, right. Like on Elf, does somebody need a hug? No, we talk because our buddy Craig, he actually did that where, you know, there's a certain I don't remember where it was, but there's this big billboard, like, you can pet a kangaroo, and just got, I don't know why it sounds so cool. Go and hang out with the kangaroo.
It does.
So I kind of went on a rabbit trail because that night I ambushed my wife as she was walking through while we're on Patreon. And I said, hey, honey, can we go and go pet kangaroos? And she was utterly confused, but I explained it to her. She's like, yeah, whatever. You know,
she's like, I don't know this figure of speech that you're using this time.
Right. Are you being inappropriate? No. And so she's all good for it. And so I started looking at the place. Craig showed us pictures of them actually hanging out with the kangaroos. And so did you know kangaroos can actually jump higher than like my house, like a 2-story house?
I did not. I mean, it makes sense. But
Well, of course, because houses can't jump.
That's the kind of content people turn off the channel.
All right. They do not. Comment. comment on this video
that you like, that you like,
you
that
love jokes, you love JB my jokes. JB jokes, we'll call them JB jokes. Mm-hmm.
JB jokes, they are definitely B jokes, they're not A material, I will say that.
No, so I know my place.
I mean, you do seem to. So JB, I see you getting ready, and after what you did, I desperately need a pour. Oh, and it's a bottle kill. Kill now kill. It's even more rare. So JB has a bottle kill of the even now more rare Eagle. I'm gonna take some more.
Ooh, bottle well kill
special
it.
Reserve. That's there will not be enough editing available if I bottle kill this bottle and we keep recording. Mm. That would be,
yeah,
yes, that would not be good.
That would be a rough bottle kill.
We're both going with Buffalo Trace products to start, unscripted, mind you. And that's,
yeah.
I almost did an Eagle Rare.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
I almost actually did a store pick, but then I ran across this almost cashed out regular.
Yeah, it needed yeah. killed.
I was like, yeah, I need to make some more room on my mm-hmm. bar. Speaking of bar.
As do I. Yeah.
Soon I'm getting, I get to have a studio.
I'm to set excited. Up
my podcast yeah. stuff, some of my church recording stuff, doing all my mm-hmm. TikTok dances in there. Follow me on TikTok, mm-hmm. JB_BibleAndBourbon. So at the end of the year, my son yeah. is moving out and I get to use his old bedroom as my recording studio. So I can record the podcast, stuff for our church, my TikTok nonsense, you know, all of that. So I'm yeah. pretty excited to be able to get a designated area to do my recording at the end of the year.
Me too. That's exciting.
Pretty cool. Then I don't have to worry about dogs barking right next to me, or
at least less. Yeah.
Less of that. Less of them. Yeah. Drinking very loudly out of the water bowl while I'm trying to record. So,
always fun.
Always a good time.
Yeah.
But what's always a good time is I love coming together as believers and praying together. And that's what our yeah. message is about today. It's about praying together. Mm-hmm. You know, when we come together united in Jesus' name, it's just a powerful way for us to be able to build the kingdom, you know, to build yeah. unity through corporate prayer. And so that's mm-hmm. what this message was about. It was a one-off message I did at the church, but I, you know, really wanted to get people on fire for praying together again.
Yeah.
So before we dig into that and our main passage, Rob, would you go ahead and pray for us?
Absolutely. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this time together, Father. We thank you for those that are watching, that are listening, wherever, whenever they are, Father God. We just pray that you bless them, that this be an encouragement to them to pray corporately, to pray individually, to pray just to continue a dialogue with you, to continue to have conversation with you, to continue to seek you and seek your will. Father, we know that this is difficult for some people, Father, and we just we pray over them now that you remove any hindrances, any roadblocks, anything holding them back. Father, we know that coming together with you in prayer and lifting our voices corporately to you in prayer is powerful. And we know that when we call you, that you will listen. Father, we give this over to you and we thank you and we praise you in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. So if you are following along with us and you want to open up your Bible, we're actually opening up to Acts chapter 12. I'm going to read verses 1 through 7 and then verse 11, and I'm reading out of the NIV. So it says in Acts 12, it was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. When he saw that this was met with approval among the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. This happened during the festival of unleavened bread. After arresting him, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers each. Herod intended to bring him out for public trial after the Passover. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. I want you guys to really soak in that verse. But the church was earnestly praying to God for him. Yeah. And then as a result, it says the night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. "Quick, get up," he said, and the chains fell off Peter's wrists. And then in verse 11, it says, "Then Peter came to himself and said, 'Now I know without a doubt that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were hoping would happen.'" And so what we're looking at, like I said, we wanted to kind of hone in on that verse 5 where it talked about the church just earnestly praying, like praying hard for Peter in that difficult situation. And I know a lot of us would probably think or like to think that, you know, your prayer life is supposed to be a private thing. You know, surely Jesus does say, don't, you know, make a show of your prayers, you know, go into your room and close the door. But Jesus also shows us the value of praying together and as a church. Jesus knew the power of believers coming together and seeking the Father through prayer. And so he wanted his disciples to pray together as a group of believers. You know, he showed us that in the Lord's Prayer. You know, that's the model that, you know, Jesus gave us for praying. And sometimes we still think it's a very personal thing, but the opening, the first bit of the Lord's Prayer is "Our Father." So there's that idea of more than one person coming together and praying. So I wanted us to consider just how important it is for us to pray together as Christians. We need to realize the power that is in that, the power that is present when we come together under Jesus' name. And that kind of power is the power that can change our households, that can change our communities, that can change the world. So here's the thing. The Bible does show us the importance of Christians coming together and praying together. Like I said, in verse 5 of that passage, said, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. And what happens? What happens as a result of them coming together and praying? Peter was set free. He was in this impossible situation. He's being guarded by 4 squadrons, you know, 16 guards. He's literally shackled to 2 guards. And what happens? Angel of the Lord appears, his chains fall off, and he's set free. So one of the main reasons that praying together is so important is our first point, which is praying together advances God's kingdom despite opposition. So, you know, when we look at what happened here in Acts chapter 12, some big opposition, right? Peter is an influential leader in the church. He's in prison. He's set to be executed, you know, because Herod was all excited because killing John James was the best thing for him. And he got met with all the approval of having the other person murdered. So he's like, okay, if I kill someone even, you know, higher up in authority, this is going to be great for me. So he's in this impossible situation, and the church comes together, and despite the opposition, the kingdom is advanced, you know, in spite of the persecution. It continued, the church continued as a result of coming together, and we see that in Acts chapter 2. Rob, if you would read for us verses 42 through 44.
Sure, and I'll be reading from the ESV. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common.
Yes.
So yeah, really, really that unity, right? And coming together and breaking bread and eating and drawing closer together, coming together and seeing the signs and wonders done and all believing in the common things and praying in common and praying in you know, unison and one accord. Really, just a powerful example.
Yeah, and that power helps advance the kingdom, because what happened as a result of what you just read, you know, them coming together, them praying, them worshiping together, them fellowshipping together. As a result of all that, verse 47 of that chapter says, and the Lord added to the number daily those who were being saved. That's the advancement of the kingdom.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of power we see if we prioritize coming together as the church and praying in unity in the name of Jesus to have the world around us changed, right? And so when we look at our main passage, you know, King Herod, he has Peter arrested in order to please the Jews. And then the church gathers together and they pray earnestly for Peter. They prayed to God on his behalf. And the night before Peter was to go to trial, what happens? Peter is miraculously delivered from imprisonment. So we see the power of coming together united.
And absolutely. And it didn't say that, you know, to pick on a few things here, right? It didn't say that your small group came together, or that the youth group came together, or that the whatever particular cliques that you have in your church came together. It was all of the believers, all who believed came together and had all things in common. This breaks down those barriers and really shows that, you know, while it's great to have those friendships and those groups, that we all need to come together as the body of Christ, as the fellowship of believers, have these things in common and pray corporately.
Yeah. I think you hit on something really important there, Rob, because when we look at the original language in the Bible, the word for church is ecclesia, which doesn't mean a church building. You know, it means the people of the people, the Christian people who are gathered together by the will of God, you know, coming together, united in Jesus' name. So it's very important, like you said, to realize it's not just certain people praying. It's the whole church. It's everybody involved. You know, it is the teenagers. It is the six-year-olds, the eight-year-olds. It is the elders. It is the deacons. But it's also, you know, the normal person just coming in to worship for the day. It's all the church. And so that's when you see the power of the Holy Spirit unleashed, like it was in the early church. You know, throughout history, we see God's will being done, you know, despite persecution, despite opposition, when his people faithfully come together in prayer.
Yeah. And to point two, right?
Yeah.
Praying together gives us wisdom and guidance. Having, you know, that large group of people discerning the will of Christ in their lives and in their midst, right, is going to grant you that wisdom and a ability to hear the guidance that you wouldn't necessarily be able to hear on your own.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, it's... Yeah, you know, I try to think back to even the Old Testament where King Jehoshaphat, he brought all of Israel together to pray, and because there was an army just coming to decimate them, and they're all united in prayer, and God answers in the midst of that corporate prayer, you know, and it wasn't through, you know, the people were expecting, you know, God to speak through the king, because he was a mouthpiece for God. They were expecting God to speak through a prophet, but God actually in that moment spoke through a worship leader. So coming together is important, because God might want to speak through God might use somebody else. God isn't always going to use the pastor to speak. Yeah. God isn't always going to use the assistant pastor or the youth pastor or professional clergy.
Assistant to the regional pastor.
Assistant to the regional. I mean, for goodness sake, God spoke through Balaam's donkey. You know, God can use, if he can use, never mind, I won't say that word. If he can use a donkey like that, he can use a donkey like you, right? But I think it's important for us to come together and pray, because in that there's a there's wisdom of experience of a lot of people, right? Yeah. And God will speak through that. Mm. And so if you would read for us then, Rob, Acts chapter 12.
Yeah, Acts 12, 8 through 10. And the angel said to him, "Dress yourself and put on your sandals." And he did so. And he said to him, "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me." And he went out and followed him. He did not know that what was being done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. When they had passed the first and second guard, they came to the iron gate leading into the city. It opened for them of its own accord. And they went along one street, and immediately the angel left him.
So that's like a very literal getting guidance mm-hmm. from God when mm-hmm. the church comes together and pray, right? You know, God literally sent an angel to guide Peter out of that situation.
Yeah.
It's an impossible mm-hmm. situation. But God also uses our corporate prayer to talk to us on how to get through the difficult situations our churches are facing or our communities mm-hmm. are facing. When we come together and we're united and we're seeking to do God's will, he's going to give us the wisdom to do it.
Yeah.
And so with that, you know, with that wisdom and praying together, which is our next point, unites us in mission. It unites us. Mm-hmm. You know, praying together creates unity in us by unifying us around the ministries of the church, by unifying us around whatever we're praying about, right? You know, we can put aside the things that try to distract us from, you know, the main vision or what's really important, mm-hmm. and we can wholly focus on God and what his will is for us. And that,
absolutely. And oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, go for it, man.
I was gonna say, and absolutely, and praying together and discerning together, right? Because we're seeking that discernment. We're going to be less likely to hear what we want to hear mm-hmm. yep. and more likely to really hear where God is guiding us and where God is leading us and, you know, where God is taking us, as a church, as people, you know, whatever the situation may be, it's really earnestly seeking that discernment because you're laying aside your selfishly what you want, right? You know, you may be praying for the new direction for the church, and it may not be the lounge with the foosball table. That may not necessarily be what it is. Yeah. I mean, let's face it, it probably is, but you know, when you're discerning in a group, those type of selfish ambitions, for lack of a better term, mm-hmm. Really break down.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And there's, you know, when you're praying together and somebody might put something out there that mm-hmm. is selfish, it's easy to kind of test that when you're in a large group.
Absolutely.
And you have the wisdom and guidance from God. You have that discernment from God. And somebody says, "I think the Lord wants to give the pastor a brand new Lamborghini." You're like, mm-hmm. "Well, I don't think, you know, you can easily test that, right?" And so coming together.
Test drive it or
So it really unifies us in mission. In that unity, it glorifies God because it emulates the unity of the Trinity, right? It's a reflection of the unity and the love that we see between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And the truth is, the world doesn't need the church divided. It needs the church united in mission. World needs unity. The world needs grace. And the good news is Jesus reconciled us to him and to each other. Yeah. And so when we come together and pray together, we build that unity that God has already created. And so, you know, as we're praying with Jesus as our focus, you know, we experience the love of Jesus and we draw closer to Jesus, right? And so in that, you know, Jesus is kind of drawing us towards him. So we're all being drawn into the same space, right? So that brings us closer together. Jesus is drawing us closer to the same space. That's his love and that's his grace. And so as we get closer to Jesus, We become closer to each other. We become unified as the body of Christ, and we become united in mission, right? Now, if we take our focus off of him, right, what happens? We begin to draw away or go towards whatever is pulling our affection away.
Yeah, turn inward. Yeah.
Yeah. And then we get further from each other. We get further from Jesus. And then that unity collapses. So it's important for us to turn our focus to Jesus. So when we are come together, we're filled with the Holy Spirit, and we pray, there's this unique kind of unity and power in the body of Christ. We grow closer together in love and grace. We grow closer to Jesus, and we become united in mission, and it becomes a powerful witness to the world. Yeah. To see people, to see Christians united in love and grace with each other and united on mission to change the world, really.
Yeah.
And so I'm actually going to go over this way and get a new glass. And so I'm going to ask you, Rob.
Sure.
What you going to be pulling next?
So I am going to be going with...
Not anything as good as what I'm going with.
Rebel Distillers Collection.
Oh, good. Nice.
ABC pick.
How easy was that? Yeah. Is it as easy as ABC?
Do-re-mi. It was as easy as ABC.
I am going with...
I did just walk into the store and get it. So, yeah, I guess it was as easy as ABC. What are you going with, JV?
A Killer Pour. King's Family Distillery. Honey cask finished. Ryconic. It is a honey cask finished rye. Aged 5 years and 9 months. Clocking in at 108 proof. One of my favorite pours. TBH.
Yeah, we're definitely jumping up in proof from our first pour.
Man, that rye.
Yeah, I'm at 56.5 on the Rebel.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
That is good.
I'm sticking in the weeded area with my
wheated.
Wheated with the Hweller and the Horrible.
Right on. Right on.
Jumping back into the points, right? And you really alluded to this with your last point. So
sure
praying
did.
Together draws us closer together. So we're coming together to pray corporately, to seek the will of God in our communities, in our congregations, in our families, in our world. And coming together and having the intimacy to be able to do that, your differences have to be left aside. You know, conflicts have to be worked through before you're able to come together and do this. So, you know, kind of forcing yourself to be able to come together with fellow believers and cast all that aside.
Mm-hmm.
One, it's going to make you much more, your heart is going to be much in a much better posture to receive the discernment of the Lord. And coming together and casting that off keeps the unity not only in the church and in the prayer, and draws us closer together and really builds that intimacy with Christ and intimacy with the fellow body of believers.
Yeah. I would say also, you know, even when there are divisions and you're coming together and praying, you see a lot of that healed in prayer. You know, prayer heals
Absolutely.
So much. Prayer will heal, you know, broken relationships or confrontations or arguments or, you know, whatever it is you're facing. So as you come together and pray, those things have the opportunity to be fixed when you are praying together with that person that you might have had an issue with. Right. And, you know, it's kind of like what I said before is, you know, when we focus on Jesus and we're drawing closer to him, we're all drawing closer to him, which brings us closer together.
Right. Absolutely.
And so if you would read Romans 15, 30.
Absolutely. Romans 15:30. I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf.
Yeah, so praying, you know, Paul's talking about the love that's in that, the Holy Spirit being in that. Yeah, praying together unifies us. It's this intimate, it's an intimate, powerfully intimate moment for the church. You know, when we pray together, like you said, we leave behind our selfish desires, and then we focus on God, and then we focus on others. So it's a matter of coming together, praying together, drawing, you know, united mission, and then drawing close together. Coming together in the power of the Holy Spirit draws us close together as a family. And so it's, you know, we should look for opportunities to come together and pray as much as we can. You know, it's not always easy, but I think there's this power that some churches or some Christians are missing out on when they're not coming together to pray, right? Yeah, sure, you know, I'm not talking about anybody not getting saved or anything, but there is a very unique power when the believers come together and unite in prayer. And that unity is such a powerful thing that happens as a result of that. The church, the world needs to see a unified church, not a divided church. And so that our witness is good to the world. And so,
and it also needs to see, you're saying unified church, and we've talked about how coming together corporately to prayer, to pray and praying together eliminates the selfishness to our prayers. It's also us seeking the discernment of God. And if we have a whole bunch of churches and a whole bunch of Christians honestly seeking the discernment of God without their preconceived notions, dispositions, or, you know, prejudices to what they want the outcome to be, and they're honestly praying and seeking what God's will is for them in their communities, and going out, the outlook on Christians is going to be far different than what it is today. Because we'll be, you know, as a people actually following the will of God and executing his will in a world that desperately needs it.
What a powerful witness that would be to the world. There's a good thing that happens when we come together, right? Read 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 through 11, which kind of shows what happens to the people praying. You know, we talked a bit about how, you know, Peter was saved when he was praying, but something happens to the people who are praying as well. And so this is what Paul writes in 2 Corinthians. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts, we felt the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raised the dead. He has delivered us from such deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope, that he will continue to deliver us as you help us by your prayers. Yeah. That's, I mean, first of all, we're talking about Paul getting saved from death by the power of the people of God coming together and praying. That says, then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us, an answer to the prayers of many. I love that last point. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted in answer to the prayers of many. Was it a burden for these people to pray for Paul? Absolutely not. It was not a burden. It was actually a tremendous blessing to them to lift up Paul in his time of need, to lift him up to God. And they received tremendous blessing, and they shared in the joy of God's continual deliverance of Paul. What if Paul had decided that his problems weren't worth bothering the church with, you know? But I'm glad he shared. So think about, you know, you sharing your needs for help in order to give somebody the opportunity to be blessed by praying for you, right? Yeah. You know,
Yeah, and that's honestly, JB, a great callback to our last episode with Corey, right? That help is a four-letter word that as Christians we do not ever like to
yes.
say.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, as a body of believers, that's where the burden of that help should be placed, right? First and foremost, and coming together corporately to pray for that is critically important.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Sometimes we're afraid to help, ask for help. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we think we don't want to bother other people with their problems, or our problems are too small to bother God with. That's like saying there's not enough God to go around, you know?
Right.
Nothing's too small. Nothing is too big for God. And so,
like, for instance, there is some help that I need is I don't have any Reikonic honey cask. So,
so start praying.
I mean,
see what happens. Listen to you.
I know. I'm trying, man. I'm trying.
You are really trying. We'll see if God speaks to my heart or if he's just using this to have you learn perseverance.
If it's just a selfish desire of mine.
Yeah.
Understandable.
I'm going to go bring some people together and pray about that. So finally, praying together does bring us together in unity. Praying together, above and beyond everything else, it helps us put our focus where it needs to be. And that's on Jesus. That's on God.
Yeah,
God's kingdom is the main thing. It centers our relationship with God and with others. So God, through his word, he shapes and molds our minds to know his truth. And prayer gives us the opportunity to apply these truths to specific situation, you know? As God-centered prayers are shared out loud with each other, they bring greater unity by drawing us closer to each other and ultimately putting our focus on Jesus.
Mm.
And so when we draw closer to God, we notice that all of our problems don't necessarily go away, right? But they seem a lot smaller compared to such a big God, to such a wonderful, amazing God. I draw closer to God in prayer. I feel safe in his presence when I'm praying to him. And I know I'm surrounded by a lot of people who pray for me. There are a lot of people in the congregation who pray for me. And I feel that security and safety in the presence of God. You know, when I go into prison, I'm going into prison here in a couple of weeks, and I'm not afraid to go sit next to somebody who was previously a murderer because God is with me. And when we come together and pray, we have our focus on Jesus, and all those other things seem so much smaller in comparison.
Mm.
Things don't seem so bad when we're focused on our God who's bigger.
Right. Absolutely. Mm.
And so to kind of summarize what we've spoken about today, I love praying together, in unity with brothers and sisters. Praying together because it advances the kingdom. It gives us wisdom and guidance, unites us in mission, draws us closer together, and ultimately it helps us to put our focus on the main thing, and that's Jesus. Yeah. Praying together grounds us, unites us, and puts our focus where it needs to be.
Yeah, and I think with that, JB, we'll go ahead and move on to our feature pour. We'll be right back, y'all. And we're back. So we are now going to go into our feature pour. So JB and I both have this bottle today. So JB, do you have a lovely assistant that's going to help you with this bottle?
I didn't. He's taking a nap.
Okay, so we have the Maker's Mark Cask Strength. Which batch is yours, JB?
21-04.
Mine is 21-06. How did I get a newer batch when I bought mine way before you? Anyway.
Yeah, I just bought this one today.
Yeah, that's crazy. So it is from Maker's Mark Distillery, Beam Centauri. The proof on mine is 110.8 proof. It does vary a bit by batch. 55.4 4% ABV. There's not a specific age statement on this. The mash bill, they do get a little more detailed on it. It is 70% corn, 16% wheat, 14% malted barley, and 100% more transparent than Buffalo Trace. So the MSRP is $49.95 in North Carolina. JB, is that about what you paid for it today?
It was a little cheaper, I thought. Might have been around it with tax. It was like 46 something pre-tax.
Okay. Nice.
Something
excellent. Like that. So
$46.99.
Nice. It's a little cheaper for you then. So something that struck me as I was going through this and going through a lot of the bourbons and whiskeys that I have in my collection, right, is we definitely tend to go towards the higher strength.
Yes.
And some brands are cask strength, and some are barrel proof, and some are full proof, and some are barrel strength, and it. You know, started me thinking, you know, is there any difference? I know I'm not the only one who's ever thought that, right?
Sure.
Because I'm, you know, what is the difference? And really, there's not.
You are a man of the people.
I am a man of the people. I'm much like the common person that I hear about from time to time.
You're so
it's different. I'm trying. So different distilleries leverage the term for marketing, for preference, for whatever.
They leverage the term.
Yeah, exactly. So cast strength.
The leverage on this term helps with my adequate advertising.
Anyways. I'm here for the common man, JB, the common folk.
Go for it.
As they told me to
I'm
say.
I'm disappointed in this whiskey, by the way.
Why?
I'm super disappointed.
Okay, why? What's the reasoning? Oh yeah, because there's no cork. I know that is annoying. That is annoying. Although I did have a Weller Special Reserve earlier, which was also a twist cap. So
yeah, but this is like a cask strength maker. I know they don't do the cork because of the wax, is what they say.
Yeah, correct. If we're to believe them,
if we are to believe them. They've been way more transparent than Buffalo Trace. Which
thank you. And
thus means,
and you can do this with it and like do like wax art.
Do not try this at home. Rob is a paid professional.
That's right. Oh, I lost it.
Yeah, you did.
I'm gonna have to clean that up later because I now have red wax all over the floor.
Good job, buddy.
Table. So, thank you. I do what I can.
I'm fire.
I'm here so that you don't have to make the horrible, horrible choices that I make as a human being. So, what does cast strength mean?
Yeah. What does cast strength mean?
Did you like that quick turnaround? Well, JB,
what does it mean?
Just like all the common people out there, I'm going to tell you what it means.
I need to know because I'm a dumb common folk.
See? That's why I'm here.
This is what I bring. Peasant.
This is what I bring to the show, you yokel. So, cast strength.
Your words don't hurt me.
Good.
I'm a beloved of the Lord.
That just means I have to try harder. So, cast strength eliminates the commonly added step of diluting the whiskey with water to reduce the ABV. So, generally speaking, a standard common.
Oh,
whiskey is 40 to 47%.
Yep, here he is.
Exactly.
Fancy.
So the purpose of diluting it is to reduce the heat levels. Cutting it also cuts the production price, so the average guy can afford to go pick up.
Oh,
a
here
bottle.
We go. Yep, yep.
I know.
More average.
I know. I'm bringing
1%.
It's like the cast strength whiskey.
I only drink cast strength because I'm not a peasant.
Exactly. It also benefits. So it benefits consumer by making more. Readily available and less expensive
for the common folks.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm like Callahan Autos.
You're a classist.
So it makes the bottles cheaper. Exactly. I think so. It also makes it a little bit more palatable for folks who aren't into the harsher or more depth.
I hated gym class the
barrel
most.
Strength. Why did you hate gym class the
I'm
most?
I'm just saying.
That's your classist?
Not, yeah.
That's the class that you hate?
Classist.
Okay.
I didn't like gym class.
So cast strength whiskeys.
The locker room stank.
So it's
okay. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
I mean, come on. No. So, again, benefits consumer by making more readily available whiskey, lower ABV, less hot on the palate. So more, you know, more people are able to enjoy it, to a broader audience. Cask strength whiskeys are typically between 51 and 67% ABV. They have a more limited production, after their aging in the barrels. You just get less yield, right? Cause you're not mixing it with the water.
Yep.
Now U.S. distilleries, labeling a whiskey as, again, interchangeable term, barrel proof, whatever they call it, is the whiskey must be within 1% of the ending maturation ABV.
There he is.
So
with the 1%
it reduces.
Again.
I know. So that one was a little direct. That was a little bit on the nose. So it significantly reduces the amount of additions that can be be done to the distillate, to the liquid. So yeah. It's just a it's a better whiskey. What can I say?
And now you know
for the most part. And now you know the rest of the story. So. To hear from a common folk, JB, what are you picking up on the nose?
Come through
oh, sorry,
this
hang
camera
on.
For you.
So from the common folks, what are you getting on the nose?
Wait, put your pinky up. Yeah, fancy Rob and his fancy neighborhood and his fancy haircut. Everything's fancy with you.
It is.
What did you get on the nose?
And on the nose, I'm getting some ethanol, being the cask strength. I'm getting, it's a sweet nose, right? But it's kind of in that cherry, picking up the vanilla, picking up cinnamon.
Yeah, I spelled
on smell, the nose.
Smell spice, even though it is a weeded bourbon.
Yeah, spoken like a common man. Right,
I quit.
But it's a nice nose, right? I mean, yes, there's the ethanol and the alcohol, but it's not super strong. So it doesn't smell young by any stretch of the imagination.
No,
even though it's not age stated.
Gosh, that's
okay.
Weird.
So now we'll go in for the palate. What's weird?
No, I'm not gonna talk about it. I'm done with you. I don't feel like I'm in a safe space anymore.
Are you picking up the pork rind dust again?
I am not.
Or pencil shavings?
I am not picking up pencil shavings.
Okay, so what are you picking up on the palate?
I don't know. I think it's a mental thing.
I know that you know, but what do we know? What is your mental thing?
Freaking bananas.
Seriously?
Yes.
I don't get bananas off this.
I don't.
I mean, I'm going to. In about 30 seconds, I'm going to get bananas on this. Because this day is bananas, right?
B-A-N-A-N-A-S. This day is bananas. Like a bananas foster, like a caramelly burnt.
Okay. I mean, I get caramel. I get the burn because I taste. It might be because I just have hot wax on my leg. But hey, but I do it in my own fancy, time.
fancy Rob getting his legs waxed. Fancy haircuts. he's truly the 1%.
So the fire that you're kind of picking up, I'm picking up toasted nuts. I definitely
haven't tasted it
yet.
I was just sniffering it.
Okay, no, you got to taste it because I said, what do you get on the palate?
Well, so, I didn't talk about my nose first. Hence, whereas
hence
to therefore, yeah, I decree as fancy Robert. Lord over all the peasants. All right, I'll go in on the palate.
So what do you? I mean, are you done with your nose? Hang on. What do you have? No, more nose notes?
No
nose notes.
No,
JB's nose notes.
Fancy Rob has decreed that we are going on to the palate.
Mm. So what do you get? Come on now.
Mm. See, I don't get the banana on the palate. I get the oak, a little bit of oak. I get a dark fruit savoriness. Darker. Like when you drink red wine.
Yeah.
Like white pepper, a little peppery notes. there's a sweetness to it, like a caramelly sweetness. I like it talked about on the nose.
Yeah.
But
to me, the cinnamon carries through too. For me, at least.
Red fruit seems red. Did I say red?
Very prevalent.
Red fruit is very forward on this.
Yeah, definitely. I pick up a little bit of molasses as well with that red fruit. That's later in the palate for me. Is the dark red fruits and the molasses and it's the spice. Like, it comes like on mid to late palate. Notes.
Yeah.
Yeah. On the front of the palate, first thing is, you know, pretentious mouthfeel alert. I think it has a nice coat. When you take it in, it's like, not a thin whiskey. It's
one you can chew on.
Which I enjoy.
Mm-hmm. This is a good campfire whiskey, man.
Mm-hmm.
I want to sit by a fire and
100%. 100%.
Cook s'mores.
I would absolutely be sitting by a fire if I didn't have a tropical storm rolling through.
You're not being affected by the hurricane. You are in North Carolina. Man up.
50 mile an hour winds.
Ooh, guess what they had in Florida? Way more than that.
Mm-hmm. That is true. That is true.
I'm going to tell you, man up.
Here's
face the storm.
So remember, do you remember the last segment where we talked about bringing your burdens to each other? And
yeah, I'll pray for you to be a man.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Excellent.
Lord Jesus.
Good luck with that.
Help Rob to man up. Now it's got a good finish on it. It's not a very, very long finish, but it's a nice medium.
No, it's medium
finish.
Yeah.
Definitely
still sweet. Definitely still spicy on the finish.
I want to put a marshmallow in this for some reason, man.
Like a toasted marshmallow.
Yeah. Like that would be.
Yeah.
Like I want to toast a marshmallow and like make a cup out of it and then pour the makers in there and just.
I mean, I love this creativity. I mean, I feel like this is a TikTok video coming.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Incredibly messy TikTok video.
You know,
see what I was thinking was taking my my Dunker cup from Whiskey Mutant, and pouring in
a nice cup
the makers, and then toasting a marshmallow within it.
Oh, that's a great idea too.
It is. It's a little more contained than yours is. I would say yours is much more, you know, primal.
I am a more primal person, being a part of the 99%.
Yours is more
1%. Yeah,
it's more refined and contained. Yeah,
it's on brand for you.
So, I mean, as long as I'm on brand, I spent a lot of money on my marketing and my brand awareness. So. wouldn't understand.
I would not. I'm the poor, stupid peasant folk. I do want a s'more with this.
I want a s'more with everything. So,
True. I mean, that's fair. But I think with this would be, I might have to try the putting a marshmallow in
it. Do you want a s'more more? Wow. I can't say the words right. Do you want a s'more amore with this or with Russell's?
I want to try them side by side.
Yeah. Cause we really dove into the s'more on the Russell's too.
I want to try it side by
Maybe we should have a s'more channel because we seem to go that's a we hit often.
Yeah. I think, there's a reason. I'm a pretty big guy and s'mores are delicious. Mm-hmm. I mean, you heard me talking about wings earlier too. We might just have to do a food channel of some sort.
We may have to.
Because I love to eat and I love to cook. You know, the other day I was with Pastor John, who has been on the show. And we do this ministry work down in Corning, Ohio. And so it's usually a Friday evening gathering. So we had a Friday evening gathering. But from the church, it was just me and John there. And it was, you know, a bunch of people from the area who come and join us. And so the next morning, since it was just the two of us, I made Eggs Benedict.
You can make it if you try. Yeah.
I made Eggs Benedict. And it was...
I love Eggs Benedict.
Dude, we crushed the Eggs Benedict with hash browns, obviously. It was a beautiful morning. All that just because we said we should do a food channel and I'm fat and now I'm hungry.
We really did go off the rails on the food.
We did. A part of it is, it's almost dinner time.
It is almost dinner time.
And I know what I'm having for dinner, so I'm really excited.
Well, nice. What are you having for dinner?
Well, I'm going to Craig's house.
Okay, excellent.
And he has a brisket on. So we got brisket. We're going to have... See, go ahead. What were you going
to
say?
I'll say now's the time. Now's the time, ironically, where I get to get jealous because I'm having a salmon salad.
Yes.
While you're going to...
The day is mine.
A delicious brisket. Yeah.
Brisket and mac and cheese and baked beans and coleslaw. Mm. And yeah. That's what I know.
Oh, yeah. That's a symphony of deliciousness.
Yeah. I can't wait. I'm really looking. Mm-hmm. And I love baked beans with brisket, man.
Oh, me too.
I love when people take pieces of the brisket and put it into the baked beans.
Oh, yeah. Smoked baked beans. Oh, I think he did. Baked beans.
I did think he said he was going to smoke the baked beans too. So
that's a Craig move.
Yeah, it is a Craig move.
Yeah.
We have had many a meal at their house, and I have left many a times extremely bloated. And today we'll be
speaking of bloated. This segment of the show
is extremely bloated. So we've talked a lot about food, but we've also talked about praying together and coming together as the church, united in prayer, which unites us together, draws us closer to Jesus. And if you don't know what it means to draw close to Jesus, if you don't know what it means to be a follower of him, maybe you're listening to us and you've heard us talk about what it means to be in a relationship with Jesus and you have questions. Yeah. Maybe you're kind of standoffish about the church. You don't want to go to a church, but maybe something's speaking to you. We want to help you figure that out. We want to come alongside you. We want to tell you about what Jesus has done in our lives. I know Jesus has changed me. He's made me a better person. I'm not perfect, but I know the person who is perfect, and that is not Rob, it is Jesus. And so if you have questions about faith, about spirituality, about religion, I want to encourage you to reach out to me, reach out to Rob, so that we can help you learn what it means to live a life in grace. We want you to experience the power of the gospel in your life. We want you to know Jesus as your Savior and as your Lord. And we want you to know that you are loved by him. So if they want to get in contact with us, Rob, how can they do that?
Absolutely, JB. And to reiterate, I am so far from perfect. But if you want to reach out to JB and I and talk through, exploring that relationship with Christ and how you can get there and resources available to you, hit us up at JB at JBBibleandBourbon.com, Rob at JBBibleandBourbon.com. You can also catch us on all of our social media, jbbibleandbourbon.com/social. It'll have all of our social media links for everything that we have today, tomorrow, and into the future. You can subscribe to our YouTube channel, which is where you see the HD goodness that is before you here today. You can also subscribe to us on all of the podcatchers, Stitcher, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, any and everything, iHeartRadio, all of it. jbbibleandbourbon.com/social.
Did you update that page with my TikTok, Rob?
Did update that page with
TikTok. Did you really? Yes. People need to see that amazing.
It's what
content.
I do. I make things happen.
No, see, what happens is, we record something and then magically it's uploaded to the internet.
It is magic. It's like Keebler Elves situation. Or is it the elves from, I don't know, whatever the fairy tale is.
Yeah. So now you're saying that you're holding out on cookies, you're like a Keebler
Elf. I am
holding
out on cookies. Yeah.
No bueno, buddy.
I think baking in a tree, especially during the dry season, just feels like a bad idea. Yeah.
But you have plenty of fuel for the fire.
That's true. That's true.
So those elves are on to something, or they're on something, and that's why they work so hard. We may figured that the whole business of Keebler out. They have.
That's right.
Medically induced elves.
Performance enhancing elves. Performance enhanced elves.
All right, we got to end this, man. We've gone on so many rabbit trails. So what I'm going to say, my friends, thank you for joining us today. May the love of God the Father, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. We'll see you next time.